Welcome to the Daily Dish. Woo! The greatest podcast ever.
Ooh, yes, Shamari.
Oh my God, that was so good.
Oh, it sounded so good.
That was Shamari from The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
And we put her on the spot, asked her to do that just because we wanted a new little jingle to share with you guys, and she nailed it.
Nailed it.
Ugh.
By the way, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast. So big news. Summer House Season 3 Super Tease has dropped.
Let's watch it.
This is an opportunity to come clean.
It's not my fault.
I'm just like so over this.
You put me in a bad spot.
What is wrong with you right now?
I turn.
God rest your soul.
This isn't what I signed up for. No.
This season on Summer House.
I'm turned on.
You're basically my sister. Then I want to have sex with her.
I thought I was the crazy one, but these people are animals.
Who has it better than us? Nobody.
Everett? Everett loves me so much, but came on is the first time I feel an intense burning inside of me.
I've never expected to like someone like this.
I'm genuinely confused.
Like he's trying to hide something.
Is he a virgin?
I've been holding something back.
Things have been really good with us.
I think this would be the winner.
I don't want to be a boy anymore.
You're growing.
I never thought that I would meet someone like you.
Am I interested in dating Carl? Not really.
It's weird chasing a girl. I haven't had sex in 3 months.
What?
I don't have to every guy that I meet.
You let him on and you're denying it.
You cheated on your girlfriend.
I do not deserve to be put through this time and time again.
I feel like I f***ed it all up.
You know, I worry.
It's all things I can manage.
For sure. And I feel like I can't trust you and now I'm alone.
Sorry.
Why would you go around telling people that you have a problem getting it up?
Stop talking about my dick!
I just don't think I want to be with you.
Listen, Schwartz just went to the hospital to get his butthole checked. Could be worse.
Let the Lord be with you all.
Okay, what'd you think?
So we get a Vanderpump Rules crossover. Love me a crossover.
A weird funeral opening.
Yeah, what's that about?
You know what? It better not be some bullshit about, like, putting our fears to rest.
Right. So we get the Vanderpump Rules crossover. There's obviously a lot of partying happening in the beginning and then a lot of drama, of course.
Right. Carl, still a boy, but doesn't want to be.
But he wants to change. I have a soft spot for Carl, and I don't know why. It's because he's so tall and he's so cute, but like, oh.
Kyle and Amanda.
I mean, this is crazy only because obviously we know at this point they're engaged, but that cheating accusation.
Right.
So we know they overcome that, but I need to know way more about that.
So what are your thoughts on the new people in the house?
Well, I think we have to first discuss Jordan and this
right.
potential penis problem.
Right. Like maybe he's a virgin. Maybe his dick doesn't work. Maybe both. And I think it's just funny that we see Schwartz this season. And he has also been accused of his dick not working.
That's true. And something's wrong with his butthole too. So he's got all sorts of problems. Paige.
Oh my God, she's beautiful.
She's really pretty.
Like, she could be a Kardashian.
Absolutely. And I'm interested to know, obviously, they're setting up something with her and Carl, and she seems to be like, absolutely not.
Well, it pisses me off that Kyle is giving her shit for not sleeping with Carl and leading him on.
Right. And then she throws out that accusation.
Yeah.
She's bringing the drama. I like her.
I like her.
We didn't get a lot of Hannah.
Yeah, jury's out on Hannah.
Maybe they're hiding something from us. She's going to come out of like left field with some big drama this season or something like that.
Oh my God, I hope.
Oh.
Okay, Summer House Season 3 coming soon.
Ooh. To watch the full trailer, click on the link in the description.
Okay, I'm so excited to talk about Below Deck because, first of all, I feel this episode in particular was a good warning to all people out there. Friends with benefits rarely works out. And Tyler and Riley are proof of that. What did you think about what happened this episode?
I mean, I totally agree. And I feel like it's just a lesson everyone has to learn at some point. And perhaps this is Riley's first time experiencing something like that, but someone always catches feelings. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think maybe she wasn't necessarily under the impression that it was friends with benefits.
That's the thing. I think you have to, if you're going to successfully do it, it has to be said at the beginning before P goes in the V.
Right, exactly. And I think, you know, we did see a little bit more, I think, of Tyler's personality in this episode because he hasn't really been around that much. Like, yes, we know he and Riley have been, like, sleeping together, but, like, we're still kind of getting to know him even as the season is kind of coming to an end. But I think we definitely saw that more sort of, like, player vibe from him, just the way he reacted to the whole thing.
Next fall, after fire season, I think I'm going to go try and find a boat.
Sailing charter B&B. I mean, my fishing skills and your sailing skills.
I feel like you're hinting something here.
Yeah.
Well, that's what my plan was with my own boat.
Oh. Well, I just incorporated myself into it, so voila.
Filling a void I didn't know I had. Mm. Interesting. See what you did there?
Let me tell you the quickest way to scare me off. By forcing yourself into my future plans.
And, like, the way he invited her out on a date just to be, like, so rude.
So I think it's okay if you're friends with benefits and you go out once in a while for a date, right? Because you still want to keep up the friends aspect of
That's
it.
That's true.
But maybe not if she has inserted herself into your future plans. Like, at that point, he should have been like, ding, ding, ding. She is a little bit more serious about this. I will not take her on a date. Because then you really are just dangling a carrot in front of her.
Right. And he definitely clocked that moment, I think. And that's when, like, the panic set in, the alarms went off in his head, the red flag went up. Like, he was like, oh no. Like, he's thinking about, like, taking a boat and going, doing this, like, solo trip. And all of a sudden she's like, I like to fish, you know? And it's like, uh-oh.
It was also the way he ended it, which I don't necessarily think there's a good way to do it, but it, in such a harsh way to be like, well, clearly I haven't fallen in love with you yet, so I think we should pump the brakes.
Like, right.
Wow.
He was like, I can't wait to meet the girl I fall in love with, and I haven't met her yet. And, yeah, like, looks right at her. It's like, oh, my God, you know? Like, and, you know, I think there is very much this, like, college dorm mentality, like the summer camp mentality for the crew, because, like, they're in these closed quarters. They're sharing rooms. We've talked about it before. So I definitely think, you know, Tyler was playing her a little bit, but I understand why he was like, I thought that this was just like a bing, bam, boom, we're done.
He thought it was sort of understood that, right, if it's happening on a charter, it's definitely not going to last.
Right.
That said, you can't have sex 5 times in one night and expect the girl not to catch feelings.
It's true.
That's just a fact.
Right. 5 times, it's like, then you're locked in to something, okay? You know, one thing I did notice about Riley, too, that I thought was interesting is in her interview, she referred to my fiance, mm-hmm, saying that they haven't been together, I think, in however many years. It was like 5 years or something. But I thought it was interesting that she used the words my fiance, like still kind of using the present tense of it. Mm. So something there told me, like, maybe she's not totally over it yet. Like, I don't know. I don't know what that story is like, but I kind of clocked that as, like, that might be revealing something about, like, Riley might still be caught up, and maybe that's affecting the way she feels about Tyler. I don't know.
Yeah, true. I do have to say, that's the one gal I would not want to piss off in a relationship.
No, not at all.
I just don't, I don't see Riley as the casual type.
Right.
So I don't know that that was the best move on Tyler's part.
I don't think so. But you know what? They're going to go their separate ways. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens at the reunion with the way that they interact with each other, whether they're cool, whether they're not. I'm not sure what happens in the finale, but we're going to be seeing that soon. So I'm excited.
And the best part of this episode and maybe the whole season is the crystal charter.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Okay, so I have a business idea. It's like Tinder, except you're looking for crazy groups of girls like this that are going on vacation. Because I want to be there. I want to join as an outsider and just watch everything happening in real
time.
You
want to be the Chelsea of the group who just, like, gets wasted and yelled at by Crystal the whole time?
Poor Chelsea. I mean, she was unconscious at that dinner.
I didn't really see it happening. I mean, I know with editing and you don't always know, like, how much time is passing, but it seemed like Chelsea left the situation, like, got herself quite dolled up. She looked good when she got to dinner, but she got to dinner, like, way before everyone else, and I think just threw back the wine, and before you knew it, she was, like, practically unconscious at the table.
Well, I feel like this is what happens with me, because I go out with people, and I'm drinking, and I seem normal, but then it's on the way home that it all sort of sets in, and so then I'm, like, stumbling into the house, and Aaron's like, what happened?
Yeah. Yeah, it happens fast. It hits you when you least expect it.
Right, and it hit her hard.
Well, and then even with Crystal getting completely sort of like wasted at her own dinner and then falling asleep and...
But we can't skip the best part where before that she's eviscerating some girl. I don't know if that was Crystal or a different girl.
Oh, it may have been a different girl.
But she says, I don't want to ruin the rest of my f***ing trip with this whore.
I don't want to ruin the rest of my f***ing trip.
Right, right. I mean, if you're going to be calling these women these names, are they really your friends? Like,
oh, well, I loved when Kate Chastain, she was talking to Josiah, and they were like, I don't think... They said they don't like her, but they invite her because she pays for everything.
That, I think Kate really nailed it and put it into perspective, because I couldn't really figure out what the dynamic was. But, like, I've seen those groups of friends right. before where people just tag along because they know she's going to pay for it.
I just, like, I feel like I know Crystal so well now. Like, she's a friend. And Crystal's the type of girl that is kind of always angry. Mm-hmm. But then when she gets wasted, it really sets in, because they're trying to wake her. And she's like, don't touch me.
Don't f-ing touch me.
It's like she's just like a little like bumping along
when she wants to like stay.
Take your time out. I'm out. I really f-ing strongly suggest
it's Cam.
Telly, get it back up.
It's Cam. You need to calm the f- down and we're gonna go inside. You're gonna be an adult. You ready to be an adult? Go inside, please. I love you.
Cam, stop. Don't touch me.
Right. I mean, well, didn't they say that she's like, first, she has a husband. I think Kate mentioned something about, like, I feel bad for her husband. So I'm like, damn, what does he deal with on a regular basis? But number two, she's like an investment banker. Like, it sounds like she's a professional who, like, earns good money. Like, what is the how is that happening in your professional life? But then this is how you behave in your personal life. She just came in and just like shook things up. I mean, I felt like when they got on the boat, I knew they were going to be trouble, but I didn't really know how it was going to play out.
Yeah.
And it was beyond my wildest dreams.
Right. But again, for some people, this is uncomfortable to watch. But for me, I'm like, I need to be able to smell the sweat. Like, I want to on that trip.
Yeah. Well, I wonder what's going to happen next week, because I feel like we see, you know, one of her other friends is trying really hard to, like, have it be a good trip, and she organizes fireworks, but even that doesn't go well. Like, it seems like she's also the type of girl that no matter what you do for her, it's never enough. She's never going to be satisfied. Like, you're in Tahiti, you're on a boat, like, have some drinks, relax.
Life isn't that bad.
Yeah. I mean, she had too many drinks is really what it was.
In closing, hashtag Team Chelsea.
Team Chelsea. We're rooting for you. The other thing I did want to bring up, too, that made me extremely uncomfortable, and we have been seeing this a little bit all season, is Chef Adrian and his, like, weird advances towards Laura, especially.
It's just not cute. No. It's not funny. And I think there are some people that you can joke with, and they're giving it right back. But the second that that's not happening, you need to stop.
Right. It's another
really,
one.
Really, you shouldn't even start it,
right,
if you're working with someone,
right? And it's like not really totally up to Laura to be like, no, stop doing that. Like, he should know from his own professional standpoint. He talks about being a professional and whatever. It's so uncomfortable. And especially when she was looking in the freezer and he was like standing there and like kept drilling it, like, look, no, look, you know, I was like, oh my god. Ugh.
Yeah, total ick factor.
And I think we've heard that this situation comes up at the reunion. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out and, like, who confronts him and what they say and how he takes responsibility.
Or if he does.
Let's talk Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Yes.
So Jersey this week, the biggest thing, we got them into Cabo. We went through Teresa's fitness competition, which was really cool to finally see, and Frankie Jr., let's not forget.
I could never forget.
I mean, what a body. So then we got through a little bit of that, but the big thing was finally we get on the trip, which we've been waiting for so long.
Right.
So now, Cabo delivered.
Yes. Particularly the dinner at the end.
Jennifer, what's going on there?
What is going on there?
I mean, is it the liquor or is it just, is that her?
You know, I understand the whole not getting offended. I would never get offended by such a thing. I understand why she's protective of her brother and like, oh, if you guys were going to a jeweler, that would have been a great time to showcase my brother's business. But to then all over this gift that they got Teresa that she knew about ahead of time. What are you doing?
I mean, was she just trying to start drama? Did she see it as an opportunity to like make her big splash yet again and like stir up the pot? Or like, was she actually offended? I don't think she was actually offended by it. I think she saw it as an opportunity to get mad and get rowdy.
Right. Well, and plus, you know, like you said, coupled with the alcohol, that might fuel it.
And for her to like insult the gift, like you said, and then later on after Danielle, because of course Danielle swoops in to take her off to the side.
You know what, Jen? You want to take a walk with me?
I'll take a walk.
Let's take a walk.
This monkey's asshole's gotta be refreshed.
You know what?
All right.
I'll suck on that monkey's asshole. Come on, let's go.
I mean, I'm glad she did that because she needed to step away and cool down for a minute. But of all people, I don't trust what Danielle's about to lay on her. I mean, I'm glad she took her aside, but it was just sort of like, why are you going to be insulting? And then 5 minutes later, she's like, I'm sorry, Teresa, I just said it out of anger.
Also, I was not pleased with the insults in this episode. Like Margaret going after the lip liner. Weak.
Baby, I am on point like nobody's business. Yeah.
Really? So is your f***ing lip liner. Why didn't you fix it?
Yes, it is.
I mean, jeez. Like oh, liner. My God.
Jealous much?
Yes. Looks like a monkey's asshole.
Yes, a monkey's asshole. That you f***ing sucked. Okay, that you f***ing sucked probably.
I sort of appreciated the monkey's asshole part of that insult. But I didn't appreciate Jennifer's comeback where she like stood up and clapped and was like, because you suck it. Like,
how old are you? Like, right. Yeah, it felt very juvenile.
I think she needs to take some lessons from like the Real Housewives of Atlanta. They're and good. Learn how to do like a proper clapback, because you have to either like really turn the insult on the other person or find something else to like grab onto. Like,
right.
You know, and she's already done that a few times with Margaret in particular, like last week when she was talking about, you know, Margaret came for her brother and his mail order bride, quote unquote. And then she's like, well, at least, you know, I don't have sex with married men or whatever.
That was a good one. I mean, right. Below the belt, but like that's something that you can actually attack
right. And
you know,
yeah. Get
a reaction.
If you're going to hit, you got to hit hard. And properly. I mean, use your words, Jennifer.
Yeah. I think to properly do it, you really need to understand what a person is most insecure about. You
right.
Know?
Right. I mean, we saw Marty do it last week, too.
Right.
To Joe. Still not over it.
Still not over it.
So, you know, at the end of the dinner, Teresa goes out to kind of check on Danielle and Jennifer just to see how things are going. And I kind of find it weird, and I want to know what you think about this. Like, this relationship that Teresa and Danielle have developed, like, where does this loyalty come from? I kind of can't wrap my brain around it.
I don't understand either, because I understand forgiving and sort of moving on from a feud, but to then, like, become good friends. But if we go back, I guess, to season one, Teresa and Danielle were good friends.
Yeah.
So maybe they're just sort of reigniting a friendship.
Right. I mean, but it's so confusing, too, because, like, you have Dolores, who's been close to the family for so long.
Since I was 16.
Since I'm 16 years old. So it's kind of like, you know, if Dolores and Danielle are not friends at all, you know, so it's just like it's just such a weird dynamic, I feel like, because it is family and Dolores considers herself family and Danielle has really not done much, I think, even lately to prove herself to be a good friend to Teresa. You know, like, I mean, she definitely has had her issues with Margaret this season, but I'm not really sure why Teresa feels like she has to sort of defend her or be on her side. I don't know, maybe something will come out at the reunion and it'll make a little bit more sense, but I still am kind of confused by it all.
Could be because they have this Bravo bond. They're the only two OGs left.
That's a good point. Yeah, that could be it. Bravo keeps people together.
Does it?
Rips them apart, puts them back together. It's all part of it. And also, what I wanted to bring up was that we had a lot of feedback about the whole mommy, daddy, what people refer to their parents as, especially on this show. And what I noticed that I thought was interesting is when Melissa's talking to her siblings, she says mommy, but in her interview, she refers to her as my mother.
Even though I miss my dad so much, I have a lot of anger for the way he treated my mother.
Which is the right thing to do.
Right, and that was a lot of the feedback that we got from listeners. Everyone was like, yeah, we definitely talk to our siblings and use the word mommy or daddy, but when we're referring to our parents to other people, we don't use that. So I think it's been proven for us.
Yes.
I can rest easy at night now. Let's talk Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Yes, Tokyo.
So I thought this episode was hilarious. I was cracking up the whole time. And what really got it started for me was seeing Portia and NeNe like getting along again.
Okay, now you're going to have a little mean baby. Stop.
No, I'm not.
Stop being grouchy. The little baby's going to come out and pinch people.
I'm going to name my baby Messy.
Messy Boots.
Messy Boots.
I think they have such a funny, like, rapport, and they just know how to play off each other. They know how to make each other laugh. They make me laugh. It's just, I like when they get along because I know that they can really go at it when they get mad.
Yeah, I miss having Portia and Phaedra together. Mm-hmm. So this sort of makes up for it.
That is true. I think that's a very good point because I also do miss Phaedra. But I love that we have this dynamic back and that they're not fighting and that there's, like, the drama is sort of set aside. And everything's going well. So that's one thing. The other thing I wanted to bring up to you is I don't know if Eva can really hang with these girls. And what I mean by that is there's been a lot of conversations the last few episodes about, like, her shade.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't really, like, step up and own it. So, like, I feel like shade is one thing and being, like, insulting or mean is another. Like, these girls are shady, but it's almost in, like, a playful, like, that's their dynamic with each other.
Right.
And I think Eva, it hasn't quite clicked on how to, like, really lean into that and sort of be like, yeah, I was shady about Cynthia. Like, whatever. Like, she is, you know, like lean into it and, like, accept it.
Right.
Do you feel like you see that at all?
She kind of reminds me, I will say, in some ways of Kim Fields.
Interesting.
Where it just feels like... Huh. Like, I don't know that I would have necessarily thought that you would get along with this group.
Right.
But maybe what she brings is something different.
I think that's a good point. I just, you know, I want her to maybe embrace the shade. Like,
yes.
Embrace the shadiness and sort of just, like, run with it. And it's not like everyone is trying to bully her into, like, you know, owning up to something, but it's sort of just like, if you're going to be shady at all times. Be shady always, be shady in front of the person, behind the person's back, whatever it may be, but just, like, be consistent about it and just, like, own it and know that it's not necessarily, like, a character flaw. It's something that you can actually have fun with.
Right.
That's why we tune into Atlanta, for the shade.
It's true.
And I do have to say with Eva, too, I know everyone has been coming for Shamari and her sense of style.
Oh, Eric.
But what's happening with Eva? Some of the things she puts on, I'm a little bit like, what happens there?
Like, okay, I think what she goes for is a sort of boho vibe.
Right. I mean, I will say when she arrives to the airport to go to Tokyo, I was getting, like, Erica Badu vibes, which I feel very good about. But then there was, like, a skirt, like, when she showed up earlier in the episode, and it was like she almost tripped down the stairs coming to it. And I don't know, some of her combinations, I think, are not doing it for me.
Okay, so then if Shamari and Eva were to do a fashion face-off, you would go with Shamari.
I would. I appreciate Shamari's, like, whether it's intentional or not, like, nod to the early 2000s, like, sense of style, you know, like, I think she has a little bit more fun and she's a little bit more bold, and I think Eva maybe goes more with, like, I want to be comfortable but also look cool.
Also, though, I will say she just had a baby, so maybe she's not really comfortable with her post-baby body.
That's
yet.
True. I mean, we did see Marlo come for her when she was trying on wedding dresses, and she
was
like,
"It's just like lose 10 pounds."
Yeah, she was like, "I'm gonna need you to lose 10 pounds," and she was like, "I had a baby 13 weeks ago," and Marlo's like, "That's been 13 weeks. You could be losing weight." So that does make sense. And now that you say that, I get it. So it'll be interesting to see. Let's see what she wears to the reunion.
Okay,
and we'll judge it. we'll judge it on that.
Good test.
The other thing that I thought was really funny and, like, I did feel bad about was Marlo losing her luggage.
All of her luggage. How did she not get one bag to Tokyo?
Not a single one, except for her carry-on.
I don't have my bag. Someone could at least ask if I needed deodorant or rubber band or nothing, but I'm going to be the same way.
You could have called me. I would have had it.
I mean, I did call. I called for hair.
And I told you, I'm one. I called you. I said, I'll do your hair for you. Girl, even I are over here dealing with people with health issues. Your wig is loose, and you don't have your suitcase. Okay.
No one called and said, Marlo, you need deodorant, panties. I had no bra.
Marlo, stop it.
And she, of all of the ladies, I'm not going to say needs it the most, but she certainly would appreciate it the most.
Yeah, I think she needs it the most. I think we can say that. I think it's fine.
Right. And not in a bad way. She just loves things.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I was saying earlier, you know, when you are flying or going somewhere domestically, like, it's okay. Like, wherever you are, there's going to be a CVS. You're going to know where to go to get your things. You can pop into a store, whatever. But when you're in a foreign country and, like, they got in, like, later in the day, so, like, stores weren't open and they had a very early morning the next day. So, like, she must have just felt, like, uncomfortable just, like, not knowing what to do or where to go or how to go about, like, getting ready the next morning.
Yeah.
So I did feel bad.
I thought it was interesting that she got on the bus and was like, not one of you could even ask if I need a deodorant. To which I thought, I don't want anyone borrowing my deodorant. Is that weird? I just don't want someone else's underarms touching it.
Well, I think a lot of hotels, too, provide some of these amenities. So, like, I think she was trying to just be a little Marlo dramatic about it too and be like, nobody even asked me. I mean, meanwhile, we have like Nini being really upset over a fight with Greg. We have Eva who's like losing a grandparent and they're just trying to keep on, you know, a happy face. And then Marlo gets on the bus and she's like, nobody asked me if I wanted deodorant. And you're just like, okay.
I will say one of the worst things that's ever happened to me in New York is it was summer, hot. Ugh. I'm wearing like a very like spaghetti strap tank top type situation, and I'm on the subway and a woman falls and to catch herself grabs my underarms. I have never felt so violated in my whole life. It is a sensation like no other.
I don't understand why she would go like underneath you to get her. I mean, this is, ladies and gentlemen, this is the beauty of living in New York, is like these things happen way more often than you would ever want them to. But like, oh God. So it was just like, dampness.
Skin against skin.
Oh, God. Well, I'm sorry you went through that. That's way worse than what Marlo went through. Honestly, it really is.
It really is.
But I'm assuming, you know, Marlo will get her luggage back, hopefully, by the next episode, because we've got a couple more days in Tokyo. So I hope she has some of her fashions available.
Yes.
And then I did want to bring up, too, the end of the episode, we see this whole sort of, like, confrontation between Nini and Tanya.
Because Nini, you said something at the temple where you're like, my fortune said, oh, you will be married. And yeah. You said, oh, well, if you might marry someone else. And I said, no, I'm not marrying someone else.
Yeah, girl, but it's not that serious now.
Well, it is serious.
Oh, it ain't serious to me.
I'm upset because this is a woman who calls me. We're supposed to be friends. Sometimes it makes me sit up and go, yeah, okay, I really do have to plan this wedding.
No, you don't. You shouldn't get married based off of what somebody else feels.
Yeah. And then now she's saying things like, oh, maybe you'll marry somebody else. It's bad juju. It's negative. So I don't really know who Nini is right now. Like,
I don't care if y'all married or not. Like, that, I'm not into it, but I don't. Okay, so please don't think I'm questioning you about your marriage because now I want you to be happy.
Thank you.
I do not care.
All I'm saying is the joke in the spiritual temple.
It was not a joke.
I get it.
I've been married over 20-some years, so I'm very serious about love. Okay?
Exactly. But I appreciate it
personal,
not being a joke.
Too bad. Okay?
I did. I kind of did because I was like, whoa, why are you wishing I'm marrying someone else?
Girl, I'm not wishing a motherfucking thing. I don't give a...
Yeah, I don't even understand what it was about. I mean, I too would be confused if someone called someone their fiance, but then called them their husband and then was like, no, we're not actually ever getting married. That is confusing.
Yeah.
But I'm not really sure where exactly it went left.
I mean, I think getting a little like psychoanalyzing here, but like, I think maybe something about her fight with Greg, she was projecting onto Tanya.
Nini's.
Yeah. And so, you know, it was kind of weird when they were outside the temple. You know, Nini made that one comment about, you know, like she said something about Paul and Nene was like, well, you might not be marrying him. And then she was kind of, she clocked that. And then when they went to dinner, it sort of came up again. And Tanya's just like, well, yeah, we've been engaged for 3 years. Like, we refer to each other as, you know, whatever it is. Like, we are spiritually or whatever married, but not legally, you know. It's like, and it is kind of strange because that's not very traditional. And you know I love me some Paul.
Oh, they're gonna say, and you know you lie. I love me some tradition. I was like, I didn't know.
No,
that.
No, I love me some Paul. So first of all, do not come for him. But yeah, I mean, it seems like this is a real test, I think, on number one, their friendship. Because, you know, Tanya's kind of new and we've just been introduced and Nene was the one who brought her in. But also a test as like, can you hang with these ladies? Like, right. Can you hold up, especially against Nene? So I don't really know where it stems from or what you know, how it's going to play out. But it's I'm excited to see how Tanya handles it, because that'll really show, like, if she can hang or not. I don't know. We'll have to see more next week. So it's the new year, and one of my goals is to save some extra money. So one of the things I did was download the free Poshmark app, which is basically you can sell items of clothing there and people will buy them and then you make money off of it. So they have men's, women's, kids, a ton of brands that you can shop from. You won't even believe what you can find on there. You get, like, amazing prices. It's winter, so I was just looking on the app. They have Uggs for $60.
Oh.
It's like half off.
Right.
So they have a ton of brands available on there. So even if you're interested in picking yourself up something interesting from Michael Kors, Louis Vuitton, Free People, Coach, Pink, Victoria's Secret.
Hey now.
A ton of brands on there. So it's really easy. You can actually friend people on there too. So people that you know, if you want to buy items from them. Shipping is really easy for the seller and the buyer. It's super fast. And if you see something that you want, you can actually go ahead and make an offer as well.
Wow.
It's great.
Well, listeners of Bravo TV's The Daily Dish can get $5 off your first purchase. So just enter the invite code DAILYDISH5 when you sign up. That's invite code DAILYDISH5.
So who knows, Megan? Next time you see me, I might be dripping in some Gucci.
Oh.
So we also spoke with Shamari DeVoe, who is the newest Atlanta housewife. She was in a little movie called Bring It On. We had a really great time talking to her. She gave us a little shade towards Marlo, which was great.
Yeah.
She did a little number. You guys heard that at the beginning of the episode for us. And it was a lot of fun.
Here's that interview.
So we are here with Shamari DeVoe. Hey,
hello.
Shamari.
Hey. Guys doing this morning?
We're good. How are you?
I feel amazing. I'm happy to be right here in New York City. Feels great.
You wish you had brought the babies.
I know.
Oh my God. I really wish I would have brought the babies. I hate leaving my babies first and foremost, and then they're not feeling well right now. Mm-hmm. Both of them were in the hospital, so it's really hard to step away and, you know, do things that I have to do without my babies. But I did bring one baby here with me, my husband.
Yes. The only one you need.
Yes, he's number one.
Great, awesome. Well, we're really excited to have you here.
Thank you.
We wanted to talk to you a little bit first about Portia. So we know that you grew up with her.
Yes.
What was she like as a child?
You know what? I didn't talk to Portia growing up, but we did go to the same elementary, middle school, and high school. So we had mutual friends. You know, she was, I mean, pretty quiet, I guess. She always had a big booty, that's for sure. Since, like, I remember looking at it like, man, I wish my booty would pop out like Portia's, you know, because I got a patty melt. But anyway. but, yeah, she's definitely looks a lot different today. Her face and, you know, the way that she's made up and all of that. She definitely has grown into her diva, you know, side, the Jessica Rabbit version of the Decatur brand.
Well, so what is the difference between a Decatur girl and an Atlanta girl?
Ooh, Decatur girls are a little bit more bougie than Atlanta girls. Oh. Atlanta girls can be like straight hood, you know, all of you. But, you know, Decatur is like, you know, we're not from Atlanta. We're from Decatur. It's more of the suburb area, you know,
right.
Like, kind of, they used to say we were stuck up, you know, and all the girls that went to our high school, we were all stuck up back in the day. That was our label. So anyway.
Are you a proud Decatur girl?
I'm a proud Decatur girl. Straight from the deck. Even though I was born in Detroit, but I was only there for like the first 5 years of my life, and then I moved to Atlanta. So I claim ATL Decatur all day.
Love it. So we know, as you know, Bring It On is kind of back in the zeitgeist. Were you surprised when you saw Ariana Grande sample Bring It On in her video?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Have you not seen it yet?
Let me tell you something. For the past 2.5 years, I have been pregnant and raising my kids. I have not even, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Like, totally. But that is amazing. So she sampled it in her video?
Well, she sort of recreated the look of it in her video. She redid like a bunch of iconic romantic comedies, and that was one of them.
That's amazing. Yeah. Like, when we shot the movie back in 99, I didn't think it would be as huge as it is, like, so many years later. This is like, what, 19 years later or something like that? So, yeah, it's amazing. Like, it's such an influential movie, and just the competition between the Clovers and the Toros, and, you know. Yeah, so.
When was the last time you saw Gabrielle Union? Are you in touch with anyone from this film?
The last time I saw Gabrielle Union was 4 years. No, actually, it was after that, because we hung together for New Year's. I went down to Miami, and her husband had a nice little party at their home, and it was about 3 years ago. We had a great time.
She's so beautiful.
She is so beautiful. And congratulations to her and you know, her new baby. Like, she is so adorable. Yes. Like, I had no idea that she was even, you know, expecting, of course, because she had a surrogate. But, like, they really kept that under wraps. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so we have to ask you about Marlo. So Marlo considers herself a fashionista. What do you think of Marlo's fashion?
The fashionable is using other people's credit card to pay for fashions that you can't afford, then yes, she's definitely fashionable.
Okay.
So is there any life advice you might give Marlo?
Stop using labels to cover up your insecurities.
Oof.
I mean, I did want to dig in, because coming in as a new housewife has to be totally, I don't know, like... Was it hard? Did you feel like, were people welcoming?
Yes, pretty much everybody was welcoming, but there's also like the shade, you know, at the same time. So it was like weird, because like with my friends and things, like, we don't really do all of that shady stuff. And so I had to really like perk up and just know, like, okay, so was that shade or was it not shade? Like, I had to start, you know, trying to figure out what shade was. And then when they started throwing it at me, I had to immediately, you know, attack. Because, like, no, you're not going to come for the new girl. You're not going to haze me now with all the shade. No, I'm too good for that.
What were some of your first impressions of the ladies? You knew Candy and obviously Portia going in, but what about some of the other ladies?
Well, of course, I think Nene is hilarious. Like, I could just sit there and just watch her all day and just laugh. Yeah, like you said, I already know Candy. Cynthia... She just seems so motherly and zen-like, you know, like we can go somewhere and meditate in the gardens and, you know, just talk about and sip tea and wine and grapes and cheese. And, you know, I really like Cynthia. And a lot of people say that we look alike. They're saying that.
I was just going to say, as you mentioned her name, I'm like, I see a similarity right now.
Well, and you sounded like her, too, when you were being like, let's just have some wine and cheese. Like, very calming.
Right, exactly.
What about any of the alums? Kenya? Phaedra?
I've met Kenya at Cynthia's wine tasting party, and I met Phaedra like years ago when she was Bobby Brown's attorney. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the relation, Ronnie DeVoe, Bobby Brown, all of that. So yeah,
right,
I met
right.
her. But we didn't really talk to each other. It's just like, hi, how you doing? Nice to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When it came to doing the show, were you 100% in, or did it take some convincing?
Well, you know, I have to discuss everything with my husband, and, you know, he's very protective. So at first he was like, oh, hell no, you're not going to do the show. But then the more we talked about it, we was like, okay, you know, if it's for us, then it's for us. If not, then, you know, just take it away. And it came on the table, and we were like, okay, well, now that we're doing the show, we can use this as a platform to, you know, tell our story and our testimony.
Yeah. We heard that there is a group chat this season. Are you in the group chat?
I am definitely in the group chat. And it was started by Marlo, actually.
Was it?
Yes, when we was in Tokyo, she started it.
Oh.
And it's labeled Housewives with a Peach.
Candy said she has to mute it a lot because she was like, people just, like, they won't stop. It's all the time.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's good to keep in touch, you know, on the holidays. Merry Christmas.
Right.
And Happy Thanksgiving. And, you know, and just to let each other know what we need to do, what we need to be doing less of or more of, and you know, just it's a nice little chat. But then we also have our personal chats, you know, like maybe me and Candy a talk, you know, or me and Portia talk off of the chat. So mm-hmm. I know when we're talking off of the chat, that's something that, you know, is private. We don't want everybody else to know about.
Like what?
No, yeah. No, like, you know, you want to go out, you know, for dinner or something like that, you know, like just me and you, you know.
Well, so you mentioned the Tokyo trip, and that's coming up. Can you give us a little teaser about what we're going to see on that trip?
Oh, wow. You're going to see a lot of cleansing rituals, a lot of fun shade. People are definitely laying their burdens down and picking them right on back up again. It's really nice. It's fun. We had a lot of fun. We ate a lot of sushi, had a lot of hot sakis, and really got into the tradition of Tokyo. It was a great bachelorette trip. Big ups to Eva.
Looking back on this whole season, what was maybe the hardest moment for you to film?
The hardest moment for me to film, I think it would be when I planned the couples cocktails and conversation event that I did with my husband, because we literally like put it together in like 24 hours, like, and we invited all these couples and we talked about, you know, marital issues, and we were inspiring and encouraging each other, and I had to, like, you know, really figure out how I wanted to put it together so that we can actually do something meaningful. So I think that was the hardest thing to film, just really talking about the challenges that we've gone through and how we were able to overcome, because it hurts, you know, it's painful when you go through things in your marriage and you have to relive them all over again.
Well, thus far in the season, you've already been so honest about your marriage.
Yeah.
Do you have a lot of fans reached out to you about
that?
Yeah,
a lot of fans. You know, sometimes my transparency will make people cringe, but others, you know, my transparency opens the door to enlightenment and awareness, you know, on the subject. So I think that I've been getting, you know, feedback from both, and there is the minority that don't like it, but the majority, you know, people that can really learn from it and relate to it, they love it. And that's what I'm really doing it for. That's why I'm open, you know, about me. I'm an open book. I'm authentic. I'm genuine. And that's all I can be.
Yes.
You mentioned on last night's episode about wanting to get back on the road, getting back into music a little bit. Are there any plans in the works for that?
Yes, of course. Like, my husband and I, we have been working on our album for like 4 years. We finally released our first single, Love Comes Through, and the name of our group is Me and Mari. We are so excited. We're ready to travel the world together, so I won't be lonely. I could be with my husband. I could bring the babies. I'm just ready to get back out there and really get into my passion. You know, singing is like my first love. This is what I'm born to do it, so.
You can tell just by the way you just lit up. You were like, oh, I'm going back on the road. Now, getting back into music, would you ever consider doing a song with Candy?
Of course I would do a song with Candy. You know, I have a history with Candy. Candy worked with me back in 99. She wrote the 808 remix, which was our first single. Well, R. Kelly did the original 808 remix, and then Candy came in and she remixed it, and she really put us on the pop charts. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I would love to work with Candy. She's super talented.
We would love that.
Yes.
Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank
we really
you.
Appreciate it.
Thank
and congratulations on the new season.
Thank you.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
What was your rose?
Okay, my rose this week, we've been talking a lot about Jersey still because everyone in this office has been singing Melania's song still.
Mm-hmm.
And then watching this episode of Real Housewives of New Jersey, we got a little bit of Gabriella, who we don't see very much ever. And I feel like she's the bonus Jonas of the family, where she's super quiet. You don't know a lot about her, but she's so normal. And I appreciate that she's been able to stay that way in this family.
Yeah, I agree. I think she was really cute in this episode. And I just like, I'm glad we have her.
Yes.
And hopefully we get a little more of her this season.
Yes. What was your rose?
My rose was Beau's overalls at the beginning of Vanderpump Rules.
I was still attracted to him in the overalls.
I mean, when he came out and he was like, this is my outfit of the day. And Stassi was like, no, it's not. I was kind of like, oh, my God. Yeah, that should be your outfit of the day. I love it. Do you think I could pull off overalls?
I would die for you to wear overalls
really?
To the office.
I thought about doing the whole like male romper thing when that was a thing.
Nope,
in like 16
nope,
or 17.
Do nope. not support that. Sorry.
Okay, fine. No male romper. But like maybe this summer could be the summer of like male overalls for me.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm inspired by Beau. Thank you, Beau. What about your thorn?
My thorn was this whole Billy versus Katie drama on Vanderpump Rules. I felt like it was unfair for Billy to insinuate, which I definitely think she was insinuating, that the other girls were being transphobic. But I was also disappointed in how Katie responded to Billy in person at the girls' night in. She wasn't listening to Billy. She wasn't trying to validate any of her feelings. She was just screaming, and that doesn't work. And also, it was very thorny for me when Lala was like, cis privilege, whatever. And then an interview being like, okay, I don't actually know what cis privilege is. It's
right.
Just like, oh, Lala.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, I think the reason like Katie maybe reacted that way is because it had been like blasted out on social media. So maybe she didn't even feel like validating Billy's feelings because it was already kind of out there. But I agree. I mean, I think when Billy sat down with Lisa was kind of like, this is all nonsense. Like, all this is nonsense. Plus, isn't there like a slew of other women who work at the restaurant who also weren't included in Girls' Night?
It's true.
It's not just Billy. So I hear you. I hear you on that. So my thorn, and tell me if you have already clocked this or if this is like a new discovery. My thorn is Cynthia's tagline is, I age like a fine wine. But now it's my time to chill, which is her hashtag with Mike, Cynthia Mike Hill, chill.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
Yeah, and I just thought it was a wine pun.
I did, too. For the longest time, I was like, oh, that's cute. It's about wine. She's always drinking wine. She loves that. She loves her wine chilled. She puts grapes in it to keep it cool. I was like, that's so fun in Cynthia. But now knowing that it's tied to Mike and her hashtag with him, I'm like, oh, Cynthia.
Yeah, I don't like that because here's the thing. If there's not a ring on your finger, he shouldn't be in your tagline.
Right, absolutely. That's a really good point. I mean, I just like, it clicked for me watching this episode and I literally just like stopped in my tracks and was like, wait a minute. That's what that means. It's a reference to Mike. I don't like it. I don't like it anymore.
I hope it's not like a couple tattoo or it's the kiss of death for their relationship.
I hope not, too. I mean, things seem to be going well, so let's hope for the best.
Well, we want to know what your roses and thorns of the week were. Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye. I got my girls with me, with the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.